Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 18 through 25. As I read these ancient but familiar words, try to listen for something new that's being spoken through them into your life and into your heart this day. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them all. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, first I want to apologize for my voice. Something has happened between the last service and this service. And so I will try not to sound too harsh here. I want to begin now with reminding you of what Bill read just a moment ago. Listen to these words. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And then what I just read, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, cast a net into the sea. And he said to them, "Follow me." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Friends, the human story is a tale of people in motion. That's what it is. And these are the opening words of Brian McLaren's book called The Great Spiritual Migration. Now, it's not just the human story. No, it's specifically our story as a community called the church. And over the next several weeks, I want to explore some of the ideas raised by McLaren. We talked about one of his books a while back, but I want to just pick up on a few ideas from those books because I think they're most germane now as we move into this new season of ministry here together. You know, most of the ideas that we'll talk about over the next few weeks will be like old news to most of you. Oh, yeah, we've talked about that before. Some of them, hopefully, will be intriguing to you. Oh, yeah, I've never thought about that. And then maybe some will even be a little bit provocative. Maybe not. But hopefully, more than anything else, they'll get us thinking. They'll get us thinking about our lives as a community of faith here at Pleasant Grove at this particular point in time, at this particular point in our life together. You know, each day, I become more convinced than ever that something new is happening in the world of church, okay? It feels like we're at the dawn of a new day, a new day following very difficult times. Anybody remember that there was a pandemic? Okay, good. We're still kind of figuring things out. We're still trying to figure out the world. And as I read articles and I talk to colleagues and as I witness the dynamics in this place, I am convinced that the world has changed. The world has changed. Our world has changed. Church has changed. Also, I'm convinced that there's no going back. There is no going back. But it's always that way, right? Sure, there is no staying put. We have to keep moving or we become obsolete. All right, the human story is a tale of people in motion. Think about that. You know, the church, uppercase C, the church, has all too often been accused of being stuck in the mud. Concrete, maybe. Concrete, maybe, is a better word. In fact, many churches are proud of that fact. And they even promote the fact that they will not change. We will not do it. They argue that they are a source of constancy in a world of change, so they will not be moved. No way. No, period. Do you know the expression, the quick and the dead? All right, good. Those who move and those who don't. Something that is moving is alive. Something that is not moving is dead. For several decades now, the church has been in a steady state of decline. For decades now. It seems that participation levels are down. Membership levels are down. Folks are choosing to do other things with their time instead of participating in a community of faith. And this trend has only been exacerbated over the past few years. So the question is, what's going on, right? People try to figure that out. Or what is not going on is what I like to think of it. Friends, something is happening. Something is going on in the church, but that fact shouldn't surprise you. No, because the human story is a tale of people in motion. Something's always happening. Friends, our story, our faith story, begins with movement. Let me refresh your memory. Again, Bill read it a moment ago. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So, Abram went. Off. Abraham's a founder of our tradition, the Judeo-Christian tradition. In chapter 12 of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, God says to Abraham, go. And what does Abraham do? He gets going. He gets going. He moves both physically and spiritually. And McLaren reminds us in his book that this human characteristic to be on the go has been indicative of our faith tradition and practice since day one. Since day one. You remember Joseph and his brothers? Remember that story? All over the place. You remember Moses and the Israelites? All over the place. Do you remember the Babylonian exile and the return from exile? People always moving. Move, move, move. Then Jesus shows up on the scene, and it's more of the same. Let's go, boys, let's go. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and he said to them, follow me. Immediately, they went. They went. Let's go, Jesus said, and off they went. Friends, we've always been followers of the Jesus movement. McLaren notes this. For centuries, Christianity has presented itself as an organized religion. And that's in quotes, okay, organized. A change-averse institution or set of institutions that protects and promotes a timeless system of beliefs that were handed down, fully formed in the past. Yet, Christianity's actual history is a story of change and adaptation. We Christians have repeatedly adapted our message, methods, and mission to the contours of our time. Think about that. Think about it. We've always been a dynamic institution. Look at all the denominations we have out there and the various ideas we all profess. Look at the worship styles. Even within this community, we have different worship styles. Look at the various ways we celebrate the sacraments. Look at the video screens. It's up there. It's up there. We've always been on the move. Now, of course, the knock on change is that you don't ever want to mess with something that's going right. You know, don't mess. You know, how many of you remember the years ago, the new Coke? Oh, that was successful, wasn't it? No. Abraham knew it. Jesus knew it. Movement is not for movement's sake. That's not the point of it. Movement is driven by vision and by purpose. It has direction. It is movement that enables us to get somewhere new, somewhere we need to be. Father Richard Rohr writes about two major tasks of human life, and this is in his book, Falling Upwards. He says, the first task is to build a strong container, an identity. The second is to find the contents that the container is supposed to hold. And then he continues, the first task we take for granted. The second task is more encountered than sought. Now here, Richard Rohr is talking about the individual spiritual life. But I think it applies nicely to the idea of our corporate journey as the church. You see, we build beautiful buildings, beautiful facilities, nice lawns, you know, sports fields, gathering spaces, magnificent sanctuaries, and then we go about filling those awesome spaces. And the challenge has always been to understand that the facility, the container, can stand for generations relatively unchanged. The content, though, that the container holds must be constantly and intentionally examined, you know, assessed, encountered, to use Rohr's word. Well, we all know the story. We all know the story, but we tell it over and over again anyway. We tell it over and over again in this space, not because we don't know it, but because we need to be reminded of who we are. So hear it again. A story that began around the year 1840. A group of folks living in a small community between Durham, North Carolina, and Raleigh, North Carolina. They decide to organize themselves into a faith community. Unfortunately, we don't know any of the details of this process. We don't know anything about the families. We don't know anything about the timing. We don't know anything about how they came to organize. We don't know about that. But what we can safely assume is that these folks had a vision of what could be. And then they begin to act on that vision. They heard the words of Paul, and it all began to make perfect sense to them. Now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it, and I will show you a still more excellent way. That more excellent way was a community grounded in the love of God, a community called Pleasant Grove. And here at Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church, we believe that our mission is to be the body of Christ in the world. We believe that's who we are. And therefore, we need to be an authentic expression of that identity in everything we do. In everything we do, we are the body of Christ. Not just symbolically, literally. And in the words of Paul Nixon, that identity gives us, quote, a sense of purpose that enables us to lead constructively in the renewal of people's lives. What does that look like? What does that look like right now? Post-pandemic, post-disaffiliations, post-whatever. How are we leading constructively in the renewal of people's lives? McLaren says that for centuries, Christianity has been presented as a system of beliefs. But he asks, is it possible for Christians to rethink this? Could Christians migrate from defining their faith as a system of beliefs to expressing it as a way of life? Could it be that we have for too long defined ourselves as Christians by what we believe rather than how we follow Jesus? How we move in step with Christ? And what would it look like if the church, uppercase C, and those in the church begin to reassess their lives according to this new definition? How would this change us? How would this move us? And I can't help but think of the classic line from Reggie McNeil's book. We talked about it a few years ago, so I won't go into the details this morning. Let me just say this. The thesis behind this book is found in the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you know the parable of the Good Samaritan, which probably most of you do, just think about it for a second. The parable of the Good Samaritan. How does it end? The title will have to suffice for today. Get off your donkey. Friends, the human story is a tale of people in motion. We got to go. We've got lots to do here. And beginning later this summer and into the fall, actually in just a few weeks, we're going to be spending lots of time planning our next road trip as a church. And I hope you'll be part of this planning, and I hope you will go with us. These are incredible times, incredibly exciting times. Change is not to be feared, folks. It's to be embraced. It's to be embraced because this is a new day at Pleasant Grove. I'm convinced of that. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and he said to them, "Follow me." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Friends, we got to go. Thanks be to God. Amen.